Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll...
Hello, everyone. God bless you today. Welcome to the Prophetic News broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And this is Susan Puzio. And we have a great program for you today. I'm so excited because I have on some wonderful people from the Church Folk Revolution. And we'll be having Brother TJ, Sister Liberty, and Brother Lee. And hopefully Kevin Oliver, too, will chime in, but this is a great group of brothers and sisters that have one of the best programs, I believe, on the air today. Very relevant, thought-provoking topics that need to be discussed. Brother TJ, he has the website Pimp Preacher, and that is a wonderful website. They expose the pimp preachers, and you can really learn a lot. I think that God uses the internet because we don't have a voice, most of us. Wouldn't have a voice on so-called Christian television or even some of the so-called Christian radio programs because they wouldn't want us to discuss the topics that we are discussing. But I wanted to let you know that the chat room is open, so if you'd like to go into the chat room. And we also have a live call-in number, and that is 914-338-1638. If you'd like to call in and make any comments. So also, I wanted to let you know that we do have a YouTube channel, and the name of our YouTube channel is Jonah T for Tom 48, and you can go there and see quite a few very informative videos that I've produced to alert the body of Christ to what is going on today. We want to thank God that He's given us this great opportunity to use YouTube and to use the internet to preach the gospel and to help the saints with their freedom. But I'm going to bring my guests on the air. God bless you. Hi.
God bless you. God bless you.
Oh, it's Brother
Sister
Lee.
Susan.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing? God bless
welcome,
you, ma'am.
Welcome. Welcome. I'm going to bring my other guest on. Hello.
Hi, so.
Yeah.
What's going on, baby girl?
Oh,
thank you for inviting us.
Oh, I'm telling you, we're going to have some fun today.
Always. So thank you so much for the invite. Like, we really were honored. And you know, we love your show, and we thank you for all of your support on our show.
Oh, I'm telling you, I enjoy it. I'm tuning in every opportunity, and Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I look forward to it so much because, like you said, the revolution is now being televised, and it takes the place of any other TV program or radio program out there, because I'm just so blessed by all of you, and Brother Lee, Sister Liberty, and Kevin. It looks like I lost TJ. Hello, Brother Lee? Brother Lee? I lost my callers. I lost TJ. Brother Lee?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, TJ's back. I lost him there for a minute.
Okay.
Oh, brother.
Yeah,
now my switchboard went black. You know what? I think the devil's mad.
Well, he's always mad with us.
He's always mad.
We're going to do what we got to do. It's going to be all good.
Well, Brother Lee, I've really enjoyed your participation there at the Church Folk Revolution, and especially your mad church disease. That one really cracks me up. The first time I heard it, I'm telling you, I was on the floor. Mad church disease.
First of all, like you said, and I want to thank you for inviting us to come on your show. And I think JT's back online, but we want to thank you so much for inviting us, and we don't take it for granted that anyone comes to listen to us. You know, anytime we don't come on the radio, we just thank God to give you people that give you someone like me. And so I see the honor to be on your show today, and so you listen, everyone that loves me, thank God for you. You know, we live in a bad time now. The church.
Yeah, you're breaking up real bad. I don't know why. I don't know if you're breaking up on your end, but.
Well, let me tell you what, I'll go ahead and we can close down Skype. I'm going to call you a regular line.
Yeah, okay, because you're breaking up. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I'm going to put TJ. Is TJ?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, we lost you for a minute.
Hi, Sue.
Yeah, and you're all breaking right. up, too.
Yeah, it was the Skype lines are really bad. Today?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on a regular phone now. Is it still breaking up?
Yeah, it's breaking up. I don't know why.
All right, so just give us a moment. Just go into prayer, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Fix it right now.
Yes, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we will get this program on. We'll be able to hear it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for intervening right now.
Hi, you want me to put it back up?
No, I'm saying what is on? It sounds like something is pulling. No. Is the mirror on?
Uh-uh.
So mirror not open in the background?
Hello?
Yes, Sister Susan, can you hear me well?
Yeah, that's good now. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am, thank you.
Yeah, I can hear you good now.
Yeah,
TJ was saying something about the Skype didn't work. They didn't get a good signal from it. Let me see if I can get him back on. Okay. TJ?
I can hear you much better now.
Oh, yeah, good. Thank you. All right, now.
Brother, how you doing?
Hey, nothing beats the regular telephone. See, we was trying to get too fancy, man. Sometimes, Sue, you just got to go to Genesis 1:1 in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning, yeah. You know, I saw something
in the beginning,
today.
God.
Yeah, right, in the beginning. Amen. But I saw something today that I could hardly believe that Miles Monroe now, he's saying that Jesus never preached you had to be born again.
Oh, you know, wow. See, one of the challenges that these guys have, is that they are pressed to come up with new content, okay? They're pressed to come up with something that keeps them relevant. And once you venture out into this area that you are now in an authority, that you are the authority on God, then you got to keep creating something, okay? Because you got to keep making up stuff that God said and God did and God won't, instead of just being a worshiper. Instead of just going to stand on your face and saying, God, I don't understand everything and I don't know everything, but I trust you, okay? And that takes humbled. Sister Sue, it takes humbleness to get to that point. But when you have this bullheaded mentality that God only speaks to me, God only reveals to me, and I'm going to tell you what God said, then when God stops saying anything at all, you got to make up something.
Yeah. Well, that was unbelievable. I couldn't believe that. I don't know, how does he think anybody's going to get saved if they're not going to be born again?
Yeah, he really don't care about the
faith. That's not a proper preacher.
That's really not in his heart. He want to make sure that he says something like TJ says to draw you, call your attention, so you continue to pay him.
I'm telling you. I never thought I was going to see the day, but I wanted to ask. I'm going to ask TJ first, and then Brother Lee. But TJ, I was been blessed to hear a little bit about your testimony of how the Lord saved you, and that I think this is so interesting that you were actually in the Nation of Islam.
Yes, ma'am, and it's something that I'm very proud of how he saved me. You know, how God saved me is really just shows how important it is as Christians that we are always on our jobs, you know, not just within the church building itself. And I really came under fire from a lot of really bullheaded preachers who didn't believe that women should do anything in the church. And I say, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a woman.
Yeah. Right.
But my mom gave birth to me, and then a second woman gave birth to me, you know, and bringing me into the gospel, because I was in the Nation of Islam. And for those of you who don't know, it's a really radical form of Islam, you know, that really is focused on segregation of races and, you know, and the empowerment of African Americans at the expense of another race. I mean, that's just the core. I mean, we didn't learn about love. We didn't learn about charity. We didn't learn anything. And we basically learned about the white man, the white man, the white man. You go sit in the mosque and you heard the white man this, the white man that for about 4 or 5 hours. And, you know, and the young lady who ministered to me was the daughter of a Pentecostal preacher.
Oh.
And I was friends with her husband. Uh-huh. And me and her husband worked together, you know, and we became friends because we both loved John Madden football. We both were big football fans, and so that caused me to go to her house. And then to make a real story short, you know, I would go over to her house to play the game, and all she wanted to do was ask me about what I was involved in. And we would get into these debates, and we would go back and forth. And, you know, I had an answer for everything. Anything that she could possibly ask me, I had an answer for, because I was trained how to prosecute the church. It's like Paul said, I am the least of the apostles because I prosecuted the church. And that's what I was trained to do. And all the way up until the point that she asked me something I didn't have an answer for, which was, when you die, where are you going?
Oh.
You know?
So what did you believe at that time? I mean, what actually did people that follow the Nation of Islam, where do you believe you go when you die.
They, you know, you subscribe to what they feel is an orthodox version of Islam, you know. But it also has
Louis
a unique
Farrakhan?
American spin. Yes, that's what Farrakhan. It has a spin, you know. And in that spin, there's Elijah Muhammad. There's another guy named, you know, Farad. They call him Master Farad Muhammad. And then there's guys. There's the head of it right now. There's Minister Farrakhan.
Right.
And then so those people were sort of like your tier of Jesuses. You know, they were like three Jesuses, or you know, that group. And so nothing was really discussed beyond acknowledging that group. And I don't mean to disrespect them in any way. I'm just saying nothing else was taught to us other than making sure that we acknowledge that group. Okay?
Uh-huh.
We acknowledge that group more than we acknowledge God himself.
Yeah, well, did the group believe in God, or did they believe in God?
They absolutely believe in God. All right, from there's not much more after that is getting encoded. They don't believe in the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in anything like that. And that's sort of how I got saved, because she asked me, she said, okay, if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, and if you don't believe that we have a spirit, when you die, where are you going, and how are you going to get there? How will you get there if you don't believe in the spirit? And, you know, no one ever asked me that.
Yeah.
You know, there's something awesome about a person getting presented with a question for the very first time that he doesn't have an answer to.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I went to other brothers in the mosque, and I began to ask them questions. Hey, man, when we die, man, where are we going? And it's like, what you talking about? Like, you know, with the Christian thing, you know, they die, they go to this area, you know, with milk and honey and streets of gold and this whole thing. When we die, what's the retirement? You know?
Amen.
And he said that, I mean, that's it. I said, that's it? He's just like, I mean, dude, that's it. I mean, we don't. That's all, you know, that's a fictitious place, man. That don't exist. I said, okay, let me wait this out.
So then you were provoked. She provoked you.
Right. I mean, that was how it started. From her question, it caused me to ask questions.
Yeah.
It caused me to, I began from that point to ask questions about what it was that I was believing. You know,
yeah.
And she said something to me. She said, because at that point I was, my name wasn't what it is now. It was Tyrone X at that point. You know. And she says, you know, there's a possibility that this thing that you are involved in still came out of the Old Testament, right? She said, that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to offend you. But there's a possibility that this thing that you're involved in came out of the Old Testament. I said, what you talking about? She says, well, I just want to look at you and what you believe, and I want to look at what it is that I believe. And you're going to find out that we're more alike than we're different. She says, you know, the prophet Muhammad, he received a revelation. And God, according to Islam, gave him a revelation, and he recorded that revelation in what's now known as the Quran.
Yeah.
She says, well, we have a figure in the Old Testament that received a revelation too. His name was Moses.
Yeah.
And God gave him a revelation, and he recorded it, and it became the first books of the Bible. So she said, could it be that you are within the Christian belief, but y'all stop reading?
Wow.
Changed my life.
Wow.
It changed my life. I mean, it totally changed my life. And I share that story because of the fact that all the way up to 24 years old, I did not believe in any form of Christ. I didn't believe in anything that had anything to do with church or God or Christian beliefs. So when you see me now, it's nothing but the grace of God. And this is why I can agree with Paul when he says, for I am the least to even be called an apostle, because I prosecuted the church, but I am what I am by the grace of God. And that grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored. I labored, Sister Sue. I had to learn. I had to catch up. You know, I'm 24 years old, and I'm trying to understand, what is a baptism?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Oh, that is amazing. That's wonderful. Did you you were in the Nation of Islam? Now, did you regularly read the Quran?
Yeah, we it was the only required book. My uncle was one of the earlier members in the Nation of Islam, uh-huh. And he dates back to the mid 50s, you know, and my mom. Once I got to, my mom was a teenage mother in her early 70s, and so she wanted me to be around men. So her only option was, because my father had passed, my only option was to send me by my grandmother. Now, by my grandmother was her sons. All of her sons lived with her. And in this house, Sister Sue, I had two winos and a Muslim.
Wow.
Okay. This is my setting right here, okay? I got two that are drunk and one that doesn't eat bacon. Okay?
Yeah.
So there was constant arguments in the house over doctrine,
constant
argument over beliefs, constant arguments over who's going to hell, who's already in hell, who's going to die from pork, every day.
Yeah.
And I tell you, Sister, so I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't go back on it, because even though I did get into this sort of what some would consider late, and just like Paul, I pressed to the mark. You know, I didn't start when you guys started. You know, he called me much later. But here's why it's so important that he called me, because a lot of the people that I minister to with the Church Folk Revolution, like me, they are also caught up in something.
Yes.
They're in bondage in something. I know what it feels like to have your mind controlled. Anytime that you can make a grown man stand on the corner and sell magazines in a pie in 104 degrees temperature, that is some form of mind control.
That is. Yeah. It's very powerful. It's really powerful, yes.
Not getting paid. So I understand how people feel when someone has used a doctrine to control their marriage, to control their finances, to tell them what to do with their children, to tell them if they can go on vacation, to tell them where to sit in the church, when to raise their hand, when to praise God, when to sit down. I understand the mind control that is associated with religion.
Yes.
And that's how I got here, Sue.
I'm telling you, that is wonderful, because somebody like you said, somebody like you that's been through that, and you can help so many people, because it seems like, I mean, it is a pretty big movement, and all the troubles that we're having now in the world with Islam, it's very interesting. Now, in the Nation of Islam, this always to me is a curious question. And do they actually preach jihad there?
No, maybe in fairness to them, that wasn't something that was preached. There was more a focus on self improvement. You know, there are some things that I learned there that were actually pretty good things, okay?
Yeah.
Not everything that took place there was bad, because you got to understand this organization, so comes from the Jim Crow segregation days, okay?
Yeah.
So you have an organization that was started during segregation still trying to find an identity today.
I see. So it actually was started then, back then, in the 50s.
Right. It actually goes back before the 50s. It has its earliest. The movement really started taking off in the 40s.
Yeah.
It became very popular in the mid 50s, going into the early 60s, because you had a very popular figure named Brother Malcolm X. Okay?
Malcolm X.
He emerges on the scene, and he begins to take them into the limelight. All of a sudden, a reporter does a report for CBS called "The Hate Made," and now the world has come face to face with this group, you know, that is existing, and it really was a group created from the hatred that was already focused towards African Americans.
Sure.
So now you have a group that was formed because of segregation. Now there's no more segregation. So what do you talk about now?
Yeah.
And that sort of takes you into some of the challenges that they're facing, because you can no longer still point a finger at the white man when you have an African-American president.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, at the point that President Barack Obama is sworn in on that day in January on the 21st, you can no longer say it's the white man stopping you from doing anything. And so
they
don't teach a jihad, but this idea that we need to be separate from this group because they're so hateful and mean and horrible is absolutely, it's an outdated doctrine. And and they haven't updated the doctrine, and that's the challenge.
Yeah. Now, Brother Lee, now, from what I've been listening to you on Church Folk Revolution, and you're talking about that you were a pastor. And so tell me a little bit about your testimony. How did you get hooked up with PJ?
tell them that story.
Well, I was stumbling down the street one day, and let me start here. You know, 1994, and I don't mean to take so far back, but 1994, I went through a real messy divorce. Before that time, I was an alcoholic. When I was an alcoholic, most of the men in my family, both my grandfathers who I knew, my father, he was an alcoholic, and I was an alcoholic. I'm the oldest son of my family, and so I'm the oldest child of my family. At that time, I was married, and I went through a mess of divorce, and I came down to a point of depression that I was trying to kill myself. I tried to commit suicide. I stuck a 9mm cork in my mouth, and I pulled the trigger, and it jammed on me.
Oh, my
and so
God.
I'm a veteran. I served 18 years in the military, and they gave me 2 years of reserve duty. They gave me my 20 years. So I know all about weapons. I know well about weapons. I was 13 Bravo, and so I knew all about guns. And so anyway, I was ready to check out here, Sister Sue, October 1984.
Oh.
And I put the one time, it jammed. Put it back in my mouth, it jammed the second time.
Wow.
At the time, yes, ma'am. And at the time, I was living in an apartment building. There was a young man that was living in the apartment who I knew. His name was Pierre Weir, and his wife Sheila. They both heard my dog barking inside the apartment I was at. I tell people this right. To this day, I do believe, it might going to sound crazy what I'm about to say, but I do believe that my dog was trying to stop me from killing myself.
Yes, yes.
He was barking so loud, right, that I took the gun out of my mouth. Well, let me just back up a little bit. What
to this is that I was so depressed, and I had stopped drinking for almost a year and a half or so. And so I didn't have no alcohol except one bottle of sin sitting on my sink. So strange, because I never knew why did I keep this bottle in my sink, under my sink. Well, here I'm sitting there looking at these pictures and looking at my son, you know, who is no longer with me. I'm getting, and one of, you know, and just, I'm drinking this gin straight. And I'm saying to myself, no more. I'm ready to check out. I'm ready to check out of life. You know, I can't even be a father. I can't even be a husband. I'm here by myself. You know, I got that sad story, but I'm about to check out for sure. And so, you know, back forward to the time I put the gun in my mouth, this dog barking so loud. Pierre comes downstairs and knocks on the door and says, "Man, can you please keep this door quiet? Keep this dog quiet." Now, I heard TJ said something about the Holy Spirit. I just believe that it had to be the Spirit of God in me, with my drunk behind, crying, snotting everywhere, this gun sitting on my couch, right, the door hard. I opens the door, and he sees me, and he said, "Brother, what's wrong with you?" And he looks at me, and then he sees the gun. He said, What are you trying to do, man?" And right there, and we've been friends ever since. Well, I knew him also, but right there, he grabbed me, Sister Sue and TJ, like a baby. That brother took his hand. He took his hand and wiped the tears and the snot off my face, and we landed at the door. He said, "Man, I don't know what you're going through." He said, "Brother, but if you're going, you're doing what you're about to do." I said, "I don't want to live." He said, "What you mean you don't want to live?" His wife came downstairs, right, and, you know, with a lot of stuff going on. He said, let's take him back inside. And took him back inside, and that brother loved on me. And he told his wife, he said, "Go upstairs, right, and I'm going to be with him until we get this straight." So anyway, he asked me that I have a bike house. And I laugh at this every time I think about it. My mother gave me a old, what I call a furniture Bible, one of the big old white Bibles with the white
pillow.
Yeah. And the reason I say it like that, because even though I was not in the Nation of Islam, I had read the book Message to the Black Man. I know, TJ, you know about that. I read the book about the Message to the Black Man. Well, I didn't want to be the Nation of Islam, because I never was one I always stayed away from big groups of men that like to control people. My father was a Mason, my mother was a Shriner. So I see the stuff right there. I never wanted to be a part of.
Wow.
Plus being a military man. I always had a fun this day. Being
you
in the view,
right?
That men, that people, a lot of people are going to control you. It's so strange that, you know, I had the mad trick disease. We are bad also, but.
See, now you understand why we do the shows that we do. We don't want to be controlled by nothing but the voice of God. Nothing but God is
saying that. And saying all that, he asked me, "Pierre, a Bible?" So I pulled. I said, "Yeah, I got a Bible under my bed." It was this Bible. Who I cut the white Jesus off the front of the Bible and put my name there. Okay, so anyway. Wow, thank you. Y'all stop laughing. This will be a third moment here. Anyway, he looks at the Bible. He didn't ask. He said, "What's wrong with this?" You know, if you remember, with those Bibles, they have
the face of Jesus in the middle.
Yeah, pictures of the middle of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so all that's missing. All that's missing out of my Bible. I don't have none of that. But I still had the scriptures, okay?
Yeah.
He asked me, you know, he told me to turn to Isaiah 53. He said, do you know anything about Isaiah? So back then the only thing I knew, John 3:16. That's the only thing I knew, okay?
Yeah.
He told me to turn to Isaiah 53. He told me to read it. So I'm reading it, and we got down to verse 3. It said, he was despised and rejected of men, and a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as if we were our face from him. He was despised, and he was esteemed, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, sorrowed, and afflicted. And when we got to verse 5, this is what stayed with me from that day to this day. He said, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes. Well, we hear the scripture all the time, but this, October 26, 1984, this is what Peter told me. And when he asked me this question also, he said, Philip, do you know what this bruising means? So, and then TJ, I didn't want to go through no Bible study and none of that. Here I am. Now, it's amazing. I'm going to all this gin. All of a sudden, I'm sober. Okay?
You don't blew your high.
You know,
yeah.
And he's trying to give me a Bible. And I'm thinking, I don't need to hear no church right now. But he kept asking. He was persistent. He said, "Brother, do you know what this bruising means? Do you know what this bruising, means?" I'm like, I said, "Yeah." I said, "But somebody, you get a bruise, right?" He said, "Do you know what it means?"
Yeah.
And so he told me, brother. He said, "Everything that you're going through on the inside that you can't tell nobody," he said, majority of us who say they know Jesus always know him but from the blood he done shed on the outside. But no one talks about the blood he done shed on the inside. The couple of things that you can't tell nobody about, that you can't share with nobody, he was broken. And there was blood shed for you for the things that's going on inside of you that want you to kill yourself. He said,
wow. That's
why the gun jammed on you. He said,
wow. The
blood didn't jam that gun up. He said, if the blood didn't jam this hope, everything that you thought that you want to give up on life was shed on the inside for you. And he said, that's blood. And that night, when he said it, and I took it, and he kept saying it was for me, sister and brother TJ. I couldn't, and to this day, I do not recognize about the blood that he shed on outside. To this day, I recognize the blood he shed on the inside for me, because that's where no one knew what I was going through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, from that point on, And then as time went on, I started going to church, and with him, I'll never forget the first time that Rita Twiggs, if you all remember Rita Twiggs, she came with T.D. Jakes' ministry. She was at a church, and she was ministering, and she pointed me out, and this was the first time I ever got everybody ever pointed me out of the church, So here I'm sitting in this so-called mini mega church. At the time, I'm a new Christian, right? Here me out and said, "You brother, stand up for a moment."
Uh huh.
She said, "God has a word for you, and this is what He has me to tell you, that whatever you're going through, you don't have to cry no more, and that whoever gonna make you cry, God will make them cry." That's what he told me. What in the world is he saying to me? So as time goes on, right, I'm studying the Bible, I'm a new Christian and stuff and so on. I said, Lord, thank you for saving me. you know, next thing I hear, you know, one night, I'm writing scriptures on the wall in my home.
Yeah.
And the scripture that I wrote down, the heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will. I wrote that on a wall.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I started writing on the wall. My son had some crown, and I wrote it on the wall. Right. And let me say this. The word came to me, and I'm not gonna sit there and say, God spoke, sit up, get up. You know, this is what I want you to do. It came in a way that wind came through, and just like I heard it, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever.
Yeah.
God, he put me in my spirit, said, I'm going to use your life to help bring men to me. And I said, okay, with me. All right. You know, and so I took that with me, and one day God showed me that he was going to use my life to bring people together for the main purpose of serving him. And and I would be able to about depression. I'm going to be able to talk to people about things that people don't want to, that they can't tell them. And so as time went on, you know, I met my wife, you know, thank God for Sister Lee, and we moved to Jacksonville, Florida. I got hooked up with the Church of God in Christ. I'm fast forwarding it. Got hooked up with Church of God and everything. And then it got indoctrinated with their doctrine.
Yeah.
And real quick, I will tell you like this. When I got, that's one of the first mega churches that I was with. And with the Church and God of Christ, you know, I loved, you know, I just, when I got so caught up in the disease, I loved this stuff. He was a mixed thing. There was Jesus, and then was Pastor Hall. Okay. You know, and I'm impressed on the way he was teaching it. I was so impressed, and heard the show, and, you know, Sister Lita shared, you know, how caught up I was. But I know, you know, I was one of, like TJ and all of us, we were faithful tithers and stuff like that. But I thought, praying, thank you, Lord, praying, because I knew there was something going on in my life that was just wasn't right. I felt that I wasn't following God no more. I was following man.
Yeah.
And I questioned stuff. I started questioning, and once I started questioning, I'd be called upon like being a troublemaker in the church. But they, you know, they didn't sit me down and things like that, and, you know, and that, let me say this, I also, God laid him upon my heart to start a ministry called New Beginnings Aftercare and Mentorship Program, helping ex-offenders that came out of prison, helping them get back into society.
Yeah.
Well, when God let me do that, then Church of God in Christ and had to worry about me so much, because I went up there talking about, you need to stop tithing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So as time went on, fast forward, I finally leave Jacksonville, Florida, and go to my hometown of Virginia. My spirit. I can preach all over the world, but I haven't preached in my hometown. People know of me. I'm a minister to a lot of people, but, you know, God, I want to go back to my hometown and spread this gospel. And so I was telling TV the other day that I got me a letter of release, okay, from the Church of God of Christ to go to my hometown and start a church.
Yeah.
And when I started a church, the first church that was multiracial. We had Hispanic, white, black. I was the only black pastor in my hometown at that time, and I think it is still this way today. That was a black pastor that would minister to white folks. Okay.
Wow.
And they would minister to
white folks.
He
leaving off the good part. Why he got fired.
Yeah, you're leaving off.
You don't tell us this long story. You ain't tell us. Tell us the good part, man.
Keep quiet, you'll talk 45 minutes. Leave me alone.
I've been waiting for you to get to the good part, man.
Okay, I'm going to get to the good part.
Well, come on.
Well, I want to hear why you got fired
again. I'm teaching, and I started teaching about tithing, the truth about tithing.
Yeah, yeah, well.
And
yeah.
Once I start teaching the truth about tithing, I know over 30 coaches coming against me, 30 some churches, because people were coming out of their ministries to come to our Bible study to listen to this teaching.
Yeah.
It got to the point that people were putting in the newspaper what I was teaching. Okay. Well, here we come. Katrina comes up in New Orleans. And I prayed God, and you know, God was in my spirit that I had to, you know, that I had to go there and do something. And so me and my wife, we came to New Orleans. We left the church to the hands of the associate pastor. While we went to New Orleans, and while we was in New Orleans, they was back there saying, "We gotta get rid of this man."
Yeah.
See, that's the part I wanted him to get to, Sister Sue.
Yeah. while I was in New Orleans, all these people that who said they were loving me, and thank God for Brother Lee preaching, thank God for Pastor Lee, you know. You know, I'm in New Orleans thinking, you know, and with that, you know, with the incident with Katrina, when I thought I was going there to minister, that really ministered to me. If I could say, and I know you, but that, this whole Hurricane Katrina gave me a born-again experience. In the spirit and for and what the church is supposed to be. That was the first time in my entire life that I truly seen the true church come together in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. I seen it.
You know,
I was part of it.
The interesting part about the whole thing, so you asked a question 2 days ago that how did me and Brother Lee meet each other. Brother Lee called me one day, and he says, you know, he sends me an email, and I reply back to his email. He was on pimppreacher.com, and it was late at night. You know, I get a lot of emails that come from pimppreacher, but I say, you know what, well, let me check out this guy. You know, there's something about his letter that jumped out at me, and I talked to him. I called him that night, and we talked briefly, and something interesting, this is from that day back in November. Me and this brother have talked every day since then, you know. And
do you remember what day? Do you remember what day did I call you?
Hmm.
What date I called you?
Yeah, I don't remember. You said actually, I remember the date.
Yeah, it was November 6th. I called you. Right.
It was that night.
The reason I said that. The reason I bring that up because by October 26, 1999, I will blow my brains out. You know, God is so amazing.
And, you know, we got together, Sister Sue, from that point. It was good that you had a chance to hear both stories because people hear us laugh and clown on the show so much. And when I hear Brother Lee laughing and clowning on the show, you would never know that this is a person that battled depression. This is a person that was right there on the brinks of really checking out of here.
Oh,
and, you know, and that's why I think that a lot of people are drawn to what we do, and we just praise God for that, is because we really keep it, you know, we keep it simple. We're not super saints. We're not authorities on the scripture. We read the scriptures, right? We present the scriptures. But we don't claim to be authorities on God. We don't tell God what to do. We really just try to reach out to people that are caught up, Sister Sue.
Yeah.
And I thank God for this brother. He has supported us. He supported me in every step of the way. And I asked him, I said, look, man, you have a show, I have a show. I said, Dad, why don't you just come be on my show? You know?
Yeah.
How can we make it happen where you can just come be on my show? I was recruiting him. And so eventually
he agreed, right? He agreed to come on the show, and that's how it really all started. And then we added Sister Liberty, we wanted a woman on the show. I mean, that was very important.
Perfect.
I wanted a young lady on the show to speak for the sisters, and Sister Liberty called me one night, and she said, "TJ, she said, listen to this." Brother Lee's famous little quote.
Yeah.
And we have started putting together, this is a real effort, Sister Sue. We have a web page that Sister Rennell is putting up that's called Stuff That Brother Lee Say.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And one of them was, I'm going to punch you in the throat.
Yeah. I'm going to punch you in the throat.
Wow.
Oh, I'm telling you, I enjoy you all so much. I said, boy, God put that team together because all of you are just perfect. And
thank you.
It really blesses me. And I know it's such a blessing to know that God really does have a people that refuse to bow the knee. And we want to be people of truth. It just blesses me so much because way back, when I started, coming out of my Word of Faith mess and all that, it was like I felt like I was an alien, you know, and there weren't that many people, thank God for the Internet, because you could find people that felt the same way. They're sick and tired of the manipulating and the control and the pimping
mm-hmm.
is the worst. And how could anybody that's ever really been born again, and we know what Jesus did for us, how can you then use that to try to take advantage of people? It's really despicable.
You know, it's happening more and more, and we actually, you know, me and Brother Lee had this conversation. You know, we thought in our own minds that it would start to slow down a little bit, you know, but it hasn't, you know. Sister Sue, tomorrow there are going to be people that are going to go to some of these churches, Word of Faith, Church of God in Christ, Full Gospel, Catholic Church, Methodist Church. They're going to go there, and they're going to come out with less money. Less money,
yeah.
And no change in their life at all, okay? And that, the part of their lives that don't change, the preacher is going to tell them that's your fault. Okay, now, they've sold them something that says that if you give me this money, all of these things are going to happen for you. Okay, but those things are contingent upon a whole bunch of fiery hoops. Okay, the person got to sow the seed. Then once they sow the seed, they got to sow the seed in fertile ground.
Yeah.
Okay, I done sowed the seed in fertile ground, now what? Oh, you got to sow the seed believing. Okay, I sowed the seed believing, now what? Okay, you done sowed the seed believing, you sowed it in fertile ground. Okay, you got to activate it with your faith. Okay,
yeah.
I done sowed the seed, activated with my faith. I put it in fertile ground, now what? It needs to connect with the anointing on your life. And it just keeps going on and on.
I know.
Okay? Every time you go to one of these guys and say, okay, what you're preaching is not working, they will come up with a reason why it's your fault it's not working.
Yeah.
You don't see any example of Christ doing any of this stuff.
No.
Christ never asked anybody he helped to activate their supernatural faith.
another thing I'm sick of, Sister Sue. I'm sick of the terminology.
I'm telling you, I am too.
The terminology is wearing me out, man. A double anointing.
And you know, as TJ said, you know, the thing is with us too, we, you know, people say sometimes that we judge bashing the church and we should keep our hand miles off the off the pastor.
I judge.
And you know, we thank God for we know the scriptures. And in Titus 1:10-16, it tells us, you know, I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but it says that, you know, these false teachers must be rebuked, shouted.
Right.
The mouth need to be stopped. And so, you know, we joke about it sometimes, but we say it like this, you know, like you said, in New Orleans, we ain't scared of nobody.
That's right.
And so the Bible says, you know, the scripture is still a scripture. We blow the horn, and we do what Revelation 18 says, and we cry out, come out of it. Come out of it.
Right.
We fight about this all the time. We fight about it. We know that everybody's not going to come out. But if something that we say on your show or on our show or any time that allow one person to get saved, thank you, Lord, we did our job. If it allow one person to come out this haunted church, thank you, Lord, we did our job. If one child won't get raped tomorrow or founded tomorrow, you know, being child molested tomorrow, thank you, Lord, we didn't do that. You know,
that's the good news.
That's the
good
news. Look at it.
Well,
but
I know because I had I was listening to the shows that you were doing on child molestation and the brave stand that Sean King took. But it was appalling. The whole situation is appalling. That it even seems that in these pimp churches now, they've got the people so brainwashed that they don't even care about child molestation. They don't even report it. It's like, how far down can you go?
You know, we dedicated a whole week last week to just molested in the church, okay? And I told a story on the show about a mother whose son was molested in Paul Martin's church, Greater St. Stephen's.
Yeah.
And how the church used its influence, right? He was molested by the minister of music in 1999. This guy, because of who he was affiliated with, and I said it, and so if it was anybody else that had molested a child over 50 times, right, even reports of a video of it, this guy walks out of Orleans Criminal Court with contributing to the delinquency of a juvenile.
Unbelievable.
That charge is the equivalent of you handing a juvenile a beer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all that is. He got 6 months inactive probation.
That's unbelievable.
Right. And the preacher, Paul Martin, set him down, and after the trial, he was right back to directing the choir again.
Okay.
Oh.
And I was so happy that this story was covered on pimpreacher.com because a lot of people were totally unaware of this story because it never hit the news, but it never hit the internet. And so what our push is right now, Sister Sue, is we're challenging the congregations to go to the pastor and have and demand that he cover molestation prevention. How do we prevent the children in this church from getting molested?
Yes.
Nobody has stepped up.
Yeah.
Nobody has stepped up.
There was a situation even here in Florida with a church that I was once affiliated with, but it was, I left that church in 97. But just a few months ago, the father, who's the founder of the ministry, he's in his 80s, he was accused of molesting a girl. And the police didn't bring charges against him. They actually even taped a phone call that he had with the girl where he admitted kissing her and fondling her. Yet the police did not bring charges, so the family brought a civil lawsuit, I guess, to get the story out and get it stopped. But he's still there at the church. He's still in public ministry. They're denying it, but I don't know how you can deny a phone call that was taped by the police. So it's amazing.
And people are still supporting them. People are still supporting them, right?
Yeah.
They're still supporting them, you know, and it doesn't surprise me, Sister Sue, because we also cover these issues with the Church of God in Christ and Kojic. And I'm telling you, one of the most powerful shows we did was that show that Wednesday with Pastor D.L. Foster, who calls in and begins to share how all of these kids were getting raped and women getting raped in the Church of God in Christ. And they do absolutely nothing about it. And matter of fact, the lead story on Pimp Preacher right now is talking about the cleanup man who will go around and settle with these women and settle with the parents of these molested children and giving them money not to talk about it. And you know, it's just, so we're sitting here, it's like, what parent settles after their child has been molested?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Settle what?
But that's how
it's crazy thing.
That's the crazy thing, because it seems that though when they get involved in these churches and they become slaves to the pastor, and they quit thinking for themselves, they quit reading the Bible for themselves, and they're following this whole carnal gospel that, then they just become cold, because that's what the Bible says, that you're lukewarm. And when that's amazing to me, that what mother or father, a normal person, wants to go and they want to, you know, they want to do away with the person. They have to be restrained because they feel like killing the person that molested their child. But yet the church has become so brainwashed into this whole thing where don't judge and don't touch God's anointed that they've actually accepted rape and child molestation.
That's the part, Sister Susan, get to me. It's the money part is no surprising to me at all. I mean, the pastors, the parent preachers, and everything, it really don't surprise me, because that's what the scripture says. But when you start touching someone's child, and to see and hear no one step up, the parents and nobody stepping up and saying that do shock me. Because like you said, Sister Susan, is that, you know, I come from a generation and I come from a family that if you touch any one of, not just my children, any one of my family, you know, unless Jesus come walking through that door, we need to come after you.
That's it.
And that was the reckless part, Sister Sue. How these congregations are covering for what's taking place in these churches. And, you know, a lot of people give me a hard time. You know, not everybody is happy about what we're doing. A lot of people are very upset about what we're doing, you know, and they say, you know, you're judging, and this is nothing more than judging. And at one time, Sister Sue, I felt bad about it. I'm like, you know, we're judging. And then I said, you know what, we're doing what the scripture says to do.
That's right.
In 1 Peter 4:7, it says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God.
Amen.
And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
Yeah.
So that's my scripture that supports what we do. Now, where is the scripture that supports a pastor tongue-kissing a 14-year-old boy?
I know. How could anybody tolerate? It's like, I'd be running for the door, and I'd never come back. Because it's like the Bible says that there'll be lawlessness, and we're seeing that. We're just seeing this total corruption and lawlessness, and I've never seen anything like it.
It's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's
not
a Latino thing.
No. It's lawlessness.
It's lawlessness because it's happening.
I often say it's all satanic. And, you know, as we say all the time on the show, of the students, that, you know, although we do names of pimp preachers, we the pimp preacher, but I often say that we who support these pimp preachers, is that, I say it like this, a pimp cannot be a pimp without, you know, that's mm-hmm. where, these pimps, the only way they can pimp, you got to be wanted. You got to want to be pimp. If you would sit there and support this pastor, then who follows that other than yours?
That's right.
You
that's
know?
Why I believe in the revolution. I believe in the revolution because it's time to overthrow this wicked church system and bring the church back to godliness and holiness and a reverence for God and the things of God. These people need to be exposed. And the thing is, we're not ashamed to do it. I'm not ashamed to do it. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Because we have to be able to protect, especially children, because they can't protect themselves. And if
they cannot protect themselves,
do you think you could ever have John King on your program?
We tried. Just to tell you a brief story about that, this is how we found out about King. We were doing a show, okay? The show was, is it time for house church?
Yeah.
Okay? Let's have church in our houses and let's get out of these mega churches, okay? During the course of this show, encouraging people to have house church, because I asked the question, I said, do you have enough Jesus in you to host church in your house, right?
Yeah.
That was the question. And from there, someone made the comment that, you know, not all of the pastors are bad, okay? And then I make the comment and said, and Brother Lee said, okay, we're not saying all of them are bad. We're waiting on someone to show us a good one, okay?
Yeah.
Show us one that is not pimping the people. Show us one that still works a job and not subscribing to this full-time ministry thing and not beating people over the head with Malachi 3 and 10. Sister Liberty says, I know one. His name is Sean King. Now, Sister Sue, this is before the story broke, okay?
Oh.
So while we're doing the show, Brother Kevin, our general from the Atlanta Bureau, he contacts Sean King.
Oh.
He says, man, I want you to come on our show. We're paying a tribute to you on the show. We would like for you to come on. At that time, that's when Sean King tells Kevin about what he was about to do.
Oh.
That same day, that blog hits.
Yeah.
When he starts to tweet about what happened with Bishop Alvarado.
Yeah.
And he couldn't take it anymore, and, you know, he needed to finally tell people what was going on. But we were trying to just celebrate him for just being a decent man of God who wasn't pimping his people. And then we opened up this can of worms that, oh, okay. We didn't know all of this.
Yeah.
Was coming out, you know, and it came out big.
Yeah, it came out big. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the thing is, the guy is still there at the church, isn't he?
He not only is he still there. One of the members of our group, Church Folk Revolution, went to the church that day, the day of that Sunday.
Yeah.
And they sat down in the congregation, and he says, from the church, he's texting me. He says, his business is normal.
Yeah.
He didn't acknowledge it. He didn't apologize. He didn't even address it. Only thing he said to the congregation is, I'm sorry that you had to hear about your bishop like this. He never addressed it, you know. And Sister Sue, those tweets from, I told Brother Lee, I said, dude, I haven't read all of that stuff to this day because it makes me, my knuckles crack when I hear
some of this stuff. You know, it makes me very, very upset, because one of the things that my uncle, that was a Muslim, used to keep me, my grandmother, from taking me to church was, there's nothing but faggots and homosexuals in the church that are going to molest him.
Yeah.
Now, we know that's not the case at all churches.
Right.
Right. There are some churches that are not going to do it, but whenever I see something playing out that my uncle said is the reason why I don't want you in one, it really, really, you know, sort of, it gets me upset, because there are some people, Sister Sue, that can, that going to church actually helps their relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
There are some. There are some that they don't have enough instructions. You know, they haven't developed the discipline to read on their own. So there are some people who go to, they can go to church and they can get, you know, they can start to build themselves up in the disciplines and discipleship. But when we go there and we take those things that we need and we're broken and we go there and you molest and rape, I mean, come on, Sister Sue.
It's unbelievable.
It's hard for me to talk.
You know, TJ said something that, and the way you know, I see it through my glasses is like this. We're living in a time now, we're talking about churches that have child molesters and pedophiles, you know, in the pews and in the pulpit. And we're talking about the same church who swing the people for their money.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is, now, true enough, like you said, but them are far, far apart. Yeah, so, you know, the ones that's not taking up the money, you can't name a church. You can't name too many churches that they not preaching about money, and you can't
not
name
too
many.
Many
churches that don't have a homosexual or, let me take it this way. You don't know how many pastors out there that's on the down low.
Yeah.
And these are the pastors that, these are heterosexual men who are molesting these children. TJ brought that the point to me, and I finally, I said, wow. And so, hey, I thought about this morning, you know, when I was thinking about coming on your show, Susan, that really the church, my wife says, it's a prayer to nobody to.
It's definitely a mess, and he's right. A lot of the incident with the children, Sister Sue, are heterosexual men in most cases. In a case in Iowa with this youth pastor, he was married with children.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're also, as a part of the Church Folk Revolution, we're also calling for we want to abolish this position of youth pastor. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to get rid of this position. This is something that, you know, we make demands on our show, sisters. You know how we do it. And one of those demands is we want to get rid of the youth pastor.
Yeah.
Why do we need this position?
Right.
Because Brother Lee said when he was a child, the youth pastor was his mama.
That's it. He's right. He's right. You went to church and you sat there like everybody else.
You sat next to your mom on the pew.
Yeah.
Now your child goes off somewhere with another group.
Right.
And you don't know. I'm not saying that something sexual is happening at that moment, but the connections are happening at that moment. So what's happening is once your teenager goes off to this youth ministry, now they're exchanging information with other people, they're exchanging Facebook information, they're, you know, there's, and these connections begin. And that's how this guy in Iowa, Sister Sue, this guy molested teenage boys by telling them he needs to have sex with them to cure them of homosexuality.
Oh, my word.
You know, so, you know, these are some of the issues that we talk about. Yeah, we do have the lighter shows, but we also, there are so many issues within the church, and that's why I said we're not a church show. We are a show about church.
Oh.
Because that takes us out the box. Now we can talk about why your pastor can't work, why he can't have a job.
That's right.
Why does he have to be in full-time ministry? Okay, what does it mean when you're in full-time ministry? Because I haven't seen Eddie Long on one corner preaching the gospel to nobody.
That's right.
I haven't seen Benny Hinn in a nursing home. He went to Jaja Gabor, but she rich. I mean a nursing home.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Come on.
You're right. I mean, this is the thing is that I believe God's raised up people like us, and he's given us a voice because somebody said the pen is mightier than the sword. So we have a voice, and we're not going away. You know, we're not going away. We're here, and I think it's having an impact. I really do, because I know that these people, they're listening. Benny Hinn, a couple of weeks ago, filed a lawsuit against someone on the Internet that was saying that he was engaged to Paula White. The thing that I found amazing about that is he didn't sue the National Enquirer. He wasn't going to touch that one. But yet he finds this guy on the Internet, this Phil Cook, who's he's not really that well known or rich or anything, and yet he filed a lawsuit against him for merely saying that he got engaged to Paula White. He made him retract it. So they know we're out there, and they probably listen to your program, some of these people.
Hold on. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know when they realize they listen? We had a member from Kojic send in a letter to pimppreacher.com. You know, that, and this guy is from the office of Bishop of Charles E. Blake. And they're listening. It took us a little. We didn't really think anybody was listening at first, but now we're starting to realize.
Oh, there's
there are some people that are listening. I know. Ed Young Jr. Group is listening because they took our video down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had a video. It was that video when he was trying to explain to the members why they should let the church take the tithes automatically.
Oh, yeah.
ACH bank draft.
Yeah.
He took that video down.
Oh, really?
Right.
Where was
through
the
radio
video?
Channels, he had it taken down.
Preacher?
Yeah, he had it taken down, but you can't take down an article, and you can't erase the fact that he stood on the stage and said that you need to allow the church to take the tithe money out of your check automatically.
Well, Ed needs to learn how to live by faith. He needs to practice what he preaches and learn to live by faith. I mean, give me a break. Ed, we're not going away. And Benny.
We're not going away. We show up every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11 o'clock Central, 12 o'clock Eastern. And this Monday, we're talking about prophecy. Is it actually prophecy, prophesying, or prophelying? That's the show title for Monday. On Wednesday, I want to say we're talking about the fraternities, right?
Yeah.
Brother Lee?
We're going to deal with that on Wednesday. We want to know, can you be in this fraternity, and are you able to serve the fraternity, sorority, and serve God at the same time?
Yeah.
So we're going to deal with that on Wednesday. You know, I like you, and something that TJ, he often says that I've picked up and stole is that we ain't worried about nobody kicking us out their church because we don't go to
church.
That's
right.
So.
I feel the same way because I know they try to kick me out. They tried to kick me out a couple of times. They wanted to get rid of me. She let her go away. Especially like with the tithing thing. That one will make you very unpopular in church circles.
Oh, quickly.
Very
quickly.
I'm going through a training through a detox now because TJ, he's somewhat Muhammad, sometimes he always threatens if I don't tone it down someday, he's gonna sit me down. So
we got a Brother Lee meter. You know, Brother Lee just, God bless him. Once he gets really going, really, really going, you know, we just buckle up our seatbelts and we hold on. And that's the kind of people I pray that God would surround me by. The ones that are passionate about it. And let me give you one last example of how passionate they are, that nobody is caught up into anything. They don't have no business being caught up in. The show we are having about the fraternities,
yeah.
Okay, I call that a mess show, because Brother Lee knows that I was in a fraternity.
Oh, really?
I'm saying, well, now why he got me, you know, saying this? I love you, brother. I won't go say it to Susan. Then you go ahead and finish, brother.
All of a sudden, Sister Sue, I get an email. Somebody done booked the show about fraternities. I said, now look at this.
Oh, yeah.
And so now we're starting to book the shows according to what we think that person needs to get rid of in their life.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So,
yes,
and then PJ, you'll be expanding your Church Folk
right?
Revolution broadcast.
What you say, ma'am?
You're going to be expanding your Church Revolution broadcast. Are you? Is it going to be on the website and continue to be on Blog Talk Radio?
Yeah, well, we're going to stream it live. And that's what we're working on right now. We're trying to get the sound together, man. But we have the when we just did a live test on a new site, Church Folk Revolution Radio. We're still working out the kinks with the sound. And there's one or two radio stations that want to stream the show live.
Really?
And so, yeah, we are.
Wow,
that's
brave.
I'm working on trying to set it up for the longest time. And you know, Blog Talk is such a challenge with the sound. You know, you saw that today.
Yeah.
That you never know what you're going to get with the sound.
Right.
And that was one of the reasons why we really wanted to have something else in addition to Blog Talk, because just like on your show, we didn't want the people, you know, in the beginning of the show trying to fight through the areas
exactly.
Because that happens to us all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and Brother Lee and Sister Liberty, they really help me out, because whenever my mic goes out, they just keep the show going.
Yeah.
But we have two radio stations that are going to pull the show live. One of them is in North Carolina, and another one is the UPN station. It's a UPN affiliate in Beaumont. And just got an email from them. You know, they're very interested in it. We just thank God, you know, Sister Sue, because this thing started with me and Dr. Neil and my wife, you know, just complaining.
Yeah, right.
I know. That's all we were doing is complaining on air.
Yeah.
And then people who had the same issue started listening, saying, yeah, we got that going on in our church.
Right.
Yeah, you know? And that's how the movement started from there, and I'm so glad that the movement has started, because people are contacting us. They're letting us know, hey, keep going. Don't stop. You know, keep him preacher going. Don't stop. Don't ease up off him. If something happened to y'all, we're going to step in right behind you. We're going to keep it going. And we tell them, you can take one of us out, right? But we all don't live in the same place. So you're going to have to drive around a lot to get all of us, okay?
Right.
Come on.
Even if you take out one of us, the movement has started. The revolution has started.
It has.
And it has.
And
this is a church revolt.
That's right, revolt. Revolt.
Amen.
As I said, one of these days, I tell people, I said, you know, be nice, but you should go to one of these live telethons or one of these churches when they start that pimping and stand up and say, "You lie." And, you know, be nice.
You know, somebody on our show said something, and I learned so much from these people. Somebody on the show said that the gospel of Christ worked for everybody.
That's right.
It worked for those who had money and for those who were broke. It worked for those who had health and those who needed a healing. So
yes.
If what you're preaching doesn't work for everybody, it's not the gospel of our Lord and Savior.
That's right.
If I don't have
Amen.
Money to pay a tithe, then that means I can't get the blessings that your gospel is promising me.
Yes.
If I can't get the blessings that your gospel is promising me, then that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
It's just plain
Amen.
And simple. And
well,
I read it as a test to test whether this is biblically sound.
Well, it's a blessing to know you all are out there, because, like I said, I enjoy listening to you so very much, because it blesses me to know that we're so like-minded, and how God is using your broadcast to help many people.
Praise
and
God.
I know there's many disillusioned people out there in the churches, and they know something's wrong, and there has to be voices out there. Imagine Jesus Christ himself setting us free, dying on the cross, and he gives us freedom and liberty, and yet you go to a church and they want to put you back into bondage, and being so afraid of God that if you don't give him 10% of your money, he doesn't love you, he's not going to bless you, and always living in that state of bondage, wondering that I'm doing something wrong, and that's why God's not blessing me, Jesus set us free. He gave us peace and joy, and we want to live that way, and we want to help others
Amen.
To live that way.
Amen. And, you know, and even as we close, I will say this too, that you said the thing about this is what I advocate, and me and TJ talk about often. We always, you know, we as Christians, we want to put people in a box, you know. And Jesus came to set us free. And if you're not free in Christ, if you don't have a ship in Christ for yourself, and you're not free, then it's not Christ. And that's how I think. And that's one thing that we talk about often, that we make sure that, you know, we're not telling people that, you know, you got to follow us or that you got to. No, and it's not about us. What we are telling people that you need to get to know Christ for yourself.
That's
and
right.
Understand, right, that he set you free. We don't tell people to go to this church. Or no, we all every Monday, Wednesday, we have a church right now. Matter
That's
fact,
right. We're having church right now.
On this
Monday,
right. We're having church right now. You know, we don't have to build nothing. Christ said he would build that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
You know.
Right.
And so once you get that understanding of being free of Christ, I have a problem. And you didn't know. Any time that, you know, and I think to keep us, you know, balanced and humble, that we don't try and tell people what to do it. Mm-mm. That's not our job. You know, that's the God's job. That's his job. You know, and so, and I like the way you said, you know, we are free.
That's
it. The other day, somebody said, TJ asked a brother, said, "Brother, what gospel do you have in your, what are you playing right now? What kind of music are you playing?" He said, "I don't have none. I'm not playing gospel music right now." TJ said, "Why not?" He said, "Because I'm free."
I'm free.
Amen. I'm free.
Well, I enjoyed you all. Thank you so much for coming on
today.
Because you blessed me so much. And I'm looking forward to the future and seeing what God does with you all and how he blesses you, because you're a blessing to me.
It's time for you to come hang out with us.
Yeah, I'm going to be hanging. I'll be hanging.
It's time for you to come hang out with us.
I know. I'm excited. DJ and Brother Lee, really, I am very excited about what God's doing and how he's raising
us. Hey, Susan,
if you
want the free to see your brother in the hot seat, tune in on Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
All right.
Thank you very much, Susan. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. God bless you.
We love you.
Love you a lot, too. I really do. Thank you so much. And everybody, thank you for tuning in today. And we want to let you know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is a Savior. He saved us. We know.
He saved us.
All of us know how he saved us. And he redeemed us with his great love and his mercy. And you can ask Jesus to come into your life today. You can repent of your sins and have a new life in Christ. It's a good life. It's a wonderful life. Truly it is. The life of knowing Jesus Christ. So ask him today to come into your life. He'll give you freedom like you've never had before. He'll give you peace like you never had before and joy and eternal life. So that's why we do these programs, is because we want you to know that there is a God who loves you. And we love you too. And we want to thank you for tuning in today. God bless.